Well, good evening. Good to see all of you here. Trust you've had a good week in the Lord already. And we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's good to see all the kids over in the Discovery Club. We had a real good crowd in the youth zone. Played some spiritual games and... Uh-oh, here you go, baby. There you go. Sorry. Thank you. Then we went and played a funny game of volleyball, and the girls come out on top. So the boys may be mad at me a little bit, but you got to teach them ladies first, some way or another. That is, we had a good time. We did. Had a real good crowd, had some new ones in the youth zone tonight, and Brother Scott said we had a new bus rider tonight. So that was good. Good to see all of them here. And hit the road running, first part of the year already, so glad to have them. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now don't forget the men sign up sheet over there for the men's retreat. Please sign up in time and manner so we know who can go, who's going to be there with us. Enjoy the fellowship. See, we got it out in time so that we could plan. Then there's another one in April. If you can make both of them, be great. If you can't, make just one of them, it'd be good for you. I promise you that. You never go wrong being around God's men and sharpening ourselves with godliness. So make yourself available to that. And then... The dates for the youth teen extremes over there, and it's on, and the scripture press day coming up on the 29th. Remember, be praying about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? What portion of the scripture press can I make an offering to? And Lord, how much? And Lord, help me to be faithful to do that. So be in prayer about that. Go ahead and start now, bathing it in prayer so we can... make sure we do what God wants to for us to do during that time. And remember, there's no pressure in this. It's an offering. You just pray, God, if you'll bless, I'll give it. And Lord, help me to be faithful to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13, real quick, so we can get the kids back on the bus, get them home. It was their first day of back in school in Osceola County, and I think some of the other ones was back in yesterday, so I'm sure that they are... looking forward to going to sleep, saying, wake up and get back to school tomorrow morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. We might talk about this for the next two Wednesdays in a row. It's a lot of bit I want to get through. But 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Now, I've used that text before and went a different direction, but I want to talk about Christian growth and development. Quit ye like men, stand fast in the faith. The Bible says there, stand fast in the faith. There's a old saying that a man that goes around always talking about war and trying to stir up war and kings in the old days trying to get war, show themselves strong by their words, were really just cowards. Really just cowards. The true warriors that you read about and study about and look at, they were men of peace. They loved peace. They loved peaceful time. But when war would come, be forced upon them, they would fight like seven men. I mean, they would just give it all they had and everything within them. You think about the 12 apostles. The Bible makes this statement about them. They which have turned the world upside down have come hither. Stand ye fast in the faith. Now the men who are going to move the world are men who will not allow the world to move them. And that was the apostles. They didn't flay. They didn't go back and forth. They weren't double-minded. They didn't allow the newest fads to come up and to overtake them and change the direction they were going. They were always looking for that old path and the light of God's Word and staying fast and forward upon the Word of God. Now, there are some essentials for Christian growth. If we're not going to be moved by the world, then we have to be moved by the Word and guided by the Word, by God's Word. The Bible says that we be not conformed to this world, but be transformed and renew our minds. And so we're going to talk about that for the next, maybe I'll get all the way through this. I doubt it, seriously, but who knows? Lord may just let me just speed on right through it. But I can tell you this, if you're going to have essential Christian growth, I mean in development, there's going to have to be a pure atmosphere. There's got to be an atmosphere around you. Look over, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Sister Swagman's been in the hospital now for a couple, almost over a week now. She may get out tomorrow. I think Brother Jim probably mentioned that. My wife was able to go up and visit with her. I didn't go up and visit. I called and talked with her because I had this cold and I didn't want to take it up there. And she said, Pastor, it's good. I'm glad you didn't bring me something else. I've been struggling with this. Matter of fact, they put her on quarantine. She had some viral infection that was very infectious, and they put a mask on. If you go in to visit, you had to wear a mask and wear an overcoat or a gown or whatever those things are called, because the atmosphere wasn't pure. It was infectious. It had viral infection in it. And so if we're going to have Christian growth, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to develop yourself as a godly man or woman. You've got to have a pure atmosphere. The things around you, things that you're involved in, the things that you are invested in as a person, that atmosphere must be just like it says here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. You know, they have hyperbaric chambers that people get in, and they get hurt, and get injury, or even some of the great athletes. Some of the Chip Kelly was big upon this, in his group, putting them in this here atmospheres where they could just control the environment, get the proper amount of oxygen, and get everything, the atmosphere just right, so that those players would be at their top, would be at their best, and so we as Christians. Dear friend, we're going to have to be careful about our atmosphere. Now, I'm not talking about just the air we breathe. Listen, I understand. We live in Orlando. There's 100 million visitors come through here every year. And airplanes flying galore in and out of here. Pollution all over. So I'm not talking about that atmosphere. I'm talking about the things that we are involved in on a daily basis. Can we say that they are true? True to God's Word? Are they of honest report? The things that we're involved in, whatever it is the things that we are doing. Is it just? Are we? You know, we're involved in things that are not just. People taking advantage of situations, and are we taking advantage of situations? You know, whatever it is, we've got to look at this. You know, the Bible says here that we're to stand fast. In 1 Corinthians 16, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. You know why you can stand fast in the faith? Because you have had some essential Christian growth. You have come to a point in your Christian growth that you can stand and withstand the wiles of the devil. I don't. If we don't understand this now, 2017, dear friend, in the very beginning, at the end of 2017, we're going to look back with some regrets, and we don't need to have regrets. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. More than conquerors. So we've got to make sure that the atmosphere, in other words, we've got to get to the point where we have a spiritual hyperbaric chamber that we get into. That the atmosphere, the things around us, the people, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Who's been sharpening you in the last couple of years? Who do you want to continue to sharpen you? I tell you what, I want God to be chiseling on me. I want God to be chiseling on you. I want you to be able to look like it says in 1 Corinthians 16:13. I want you to be able to say, I'm going to stand fast in the faith, and I'm going to make sure the things around me, the atmosphere, the things I'm involved with are just like it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8. And if your atmosphere is not good, dear friend, you will never get to the point we're fixing to get to over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, if you would. You got that pure atmosphere. You're thinking of, you're around things that are honest, good report, things that are pure, things that are of virtue, things that are of praise. You know, you're around all these things. And Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do. Not which did. And some of us, we got saved, dear friend. We got born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our feet would sit on that solid rock. We did hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Blessed are they which do. That's a it's a continual thing. You do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says, for they shall be filled. You know why we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, dear friend? Because our atmosphere isn't good. Have you ever got sick? I mean, just sick, got the flu. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and they had this guy that was was talking to this doctor up there at a Florida hospital, and he said for the last 6-7 weeks has been influenza. Some kind of flu. It's been the last 6 weeks. It's the season for it. He said your bones hurt, your back hurts, your body hurts. You don't want to eat. You don't have no energy. I mean, you're just not in a good atmosphere. You know why we're not hungry and thirsting after righteousness? Our atmosphere is not good, dear friend. We're sickly, spiritually speaking. I mean, there's been a lot of sickness going on around here, and I'm not making light of that because I just come up out of that myself. And when you get sick, you don't feel like really doing much of nothing. I mean, you really don't. When you get spiritually sick, dear friend, I'm to be honest with you, you're not wanting to read the Word of God. When you're spiritually sick, you go immediately to the things of carnality. It's just natural. It's the human, fleshly, first Adam thing to do, right? You know, if there's a first Adam, there's a second Adam, the Bible talks about. We just return back to that. Now listen, when you get well, you get your body back on the mend. Man, you just can't wait. I mean, your plates, your eyes are bigger than your plate. You get more than you need. And you try to eat it up. That's how we was when we first got saved. I mean, we just absorbed we were like a dry sponge when we first got saved. We just soaked it in. Ask yourself. This morning I was listening to the radio, and the person said this. The first thing in the morning, if we are not soaking in God first, we are absorbing the world or the things that we first see. So I would encourage you in 2017 to do this. Why don't we check out of social media first thing in the morning and check in with God? I mean, I like keeping in contact with people. I do. I like seeing what's going on in people's lives, unless you're fixing to tell me you're about to eat a salad. I don't understand folks on that. I'm fixing to sit down. I'm fixing to eat my salad. What? Okay. Well, I'm fixing to go to Walmart. Praise God. God, I'm glad you got some, you know, something serious. Something helpful. Something that's going to be uplifting and edifying. But I'll tell you, sometimes if I'm not careful and, I go first to my phone, I pick up my phone, I look over there at Facebook. Before long, I'm reading, I'm going down the timeline, I'm checking, I'm liking this, I'm liking that, putting a heart by this, putting a heart by this. But before I know it, it's time. I've missed out. And you know what I've just soaked in? Everything but God. You know why I didn't hunger and thirst after God? Because my atmosphere. Listen, there's nothing wrong with it, you know, generally speaking, with Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. But, you know, it can lend itself to be a distraction to our time with God. Ask yourself, are you hungering and thirsty? We're talking about essential. I'm not talking about just, you know, a little bit of Christian growth. I'm talking about essential Christian growth and development. Are you developing as a Christ-like person? And the only way we're going to do it, dear friend, is we're going to have a good atmosphere, and we're going to have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The appetite's going to have to be right. What are you desiring? What's your appetite? Spiritually speaking. Now I'm not talking about food speaking, because I'm telling you, my appetite's going to shut out of the roof talking about food. But Lord, man alive, I could sit back in them. I'm like, drooling. Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking spiritually speaking, my friend. You know, what is your appetite? Do we desire more of the NCAA and the basketball and the hobbies of life? Listen, God desires for us to enjoy things that we desire. He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But He's not going to replace the desires of our heart. And let the desires of our heart have preeminence over His Word. Over Him. He wants the throne of our life. He wants to sit on the throne of our heart. He wants, and listen, He's paid our sin debt. So our atmosphere, we've got to check out our atmosphere. Let me be honest with you, dear friend. I went to the LSU game last week. I'm just being honest as I can be. I went there to the LSU game, enjoyed it. And some of you are not going to believe this. It's the first time ever I have gone to a live LSU game, ever. It was here in Orlando. We had bought our boys a ticket for Christmas, and they invited me and Daniel. And so I said, okay, I really wanted to go hunting. It was the last day of hunting. But my boy asked me to go. I said, okay, I'll go. Spent all day over there at the LSU game, watching one. They beat Cardinals all up and down the place. I loved it. I enjoyed it. At 3:30 when I got back here, Brother Josh, you know I didn't have no desire to go get the Bible. You know why? It wasn't a carnal atmosphere wise. I mean, it was carnal. I mean, it wasn't wicked. Let me put it that way. It wasn't a wicked atmosphere. Nobody around me was yelling profanities. Brother Ray, they were pretty sensible, even though there was Cardinal fans around. They were pretty mad. But they didn't get all upset and yell things. But my atmosphere wasn't about spiritual things.
I wasn't doing nothing wrong. I was with my son and son-in-law. I was enjoying a game, But when I came back, dear friend, my mind was not about spiritual things. I was thinking about guys when he ran, busted that line, run up there and scored. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking about that defense who just shut down the Heisman Trophy winner. 67 yards he got. That's what I was thinking about. My atmosphere, Brother Hector, it wasn't about the Word of God, the spiritual things of God. It wasn't about spirituality. I had no hunger and thirst for righteousness at that moment. That was just Saturday. Now, just ask yourself this. What if that was every day of our life? Monday, Sunday. Tuesday, Sunday. Wednesday, Sunday. Thursday. Wait a minute, preacher, it's Wednesday night. We're all here, but I'm here too. But I can tell you, on Monday or Tuesday, I can let myself go if I'm not careful. Wednesday, today, I got busy around here doing some odd jobs that hadn't been done. Listen, before I knew it, it was already 12 o'clock. I could have kept on going. I had about 7 or 8 more hours of work I could have done. I said, hold up, Lord. It's Wednesday. We got folks going to come to church. They're going to need to hear from you. Then Thursday comes around, and Friday, Saturday. What if every day for me was like that Saturday? I thought we was going to leave the house, Brother David, about 9 o'clock in the morning. Daniel said, no, Dad, we need to leave about 6. I said, where are we going? Is it the game in Orlando? He said, yeah, we're going to go to Cracker Barrel first. And then we're going to go to tailgate. I said, tailgate? They do some bad things, tailgate. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know about this. But he said, yeah, we're going to go. I said, okay. And we went. And I'm telling you, I've never been so tired in my life from a football game. What if that was every day? Ask yourself. Two Saturdays ago, I think it was, we went over to SeaWorld. I mean, we left the house about 11:30, went over to Chick-fil-A, got some food. And got over there, listen, watching whales jump around and dogs run and your Christmas trees light up. We left there about 8:30 that night. They were talking about staying till close, and I was like, at 6 o'clock, I said, is it time to go? Roller coasters going everywhere. But listen, when I got home, I was tired. Sister Barbara, I didn't have no hunger or thirst. The atmosphere. What are we doing? The world has got us running. We look like a bunch of dogs chasing our tail. The problem is our tails done been whacked off. We're running around here trying. We can't even see our tails no more. And we're running around in circles. And we wonder why we have no hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. He says, they shall be filled. When you go to your favorite restaurant, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, Cracker Barrel, Chick-fil-A's, Red Lobster, Olive Gardens, whichever one it is, you spend that money. Do you not expect to be filled when you leave? You do, don't you? Why is it then when we get over to our Bible study, we want to get through as fast as we can? They shall be filled. When's the last time he was full of righteousness? The righteousness of God. The reason we have no appetite for the things of God is because the atmosphere. That's why church is so important. That's why, I don't come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night because I'm the pastor. I did it before I ever was a pastor. I do it because I want to be fed. I do it because I want to be around the things of God. You know why I have these men's retreats? We put them out, these women retreats? I want you to be filled. You know when we take the teens over to Team Extreme? I'm not worried one iota about a rock climbing wall over there. I want the preaching of God's Word to get down into their heart. I want to get them in an atmosphere that is godly for a little bit. Just for a week. Because I know how it is around my house, dear friend. I mean, we wake up before the crack of dawn and we're going till the end of the day. I mean, I look up and I said, man, it's already 11 o'clock. I'm tired. Basketball, football, soccer. My wife just reminded me, next year, Briley is going to be in every one of them things. And listen, I'm not against sports. I like every one of my kids play. Every one of them. It's in the atmosphere. That's why we have Team Extreme and Team Camp Winter Retreat, men's retreats, women's retreats, Scripture Day coming up. That's why we recognize, and if, listen, isn't it about having 66 years here on this property? It's so that we can have a day where we can celebrate God. That's what our homecoming is about. Not just the fact that we've had buildings on this property for 67 years. It's so that we can recognize that God has been busy at work here in our lives for all these years. The atmosphere. That's why we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. That's why we have youth zone and Bible clubs over there. You know why? Because we want the atmosphere. So that we can create a hunger and thirst for the things of God. For righteousness. Well, that's only two and it's 5 till 8. Let's just hit this other one real fast. I got about 8 more to go, but we're going to hit this other one. We may not even get done next Wednesday. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 51. You got to have a pure atmosphere, which creates a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then you need the bestest of the food. The bestest of the food is right here in John 6:51. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When I was growing up, my wife's church was having a fundraiser for to go over to, what's that place, that beach over there south of Mobile? Yeah, I can't remember now. Right at Mobile. It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to see if you've been over there. Where's my wife at? No, just south of Mobile. Anyway, it was a week. We were going over there for 5 days over there to the beach, had cabins and preaching come in and all that, and spend a day over at the beach. Cost about $325. I didn't have 325 cents, Brother Victor. Like, good night. So they offered a chance that you could sell ham dinners. Our church was over on the other side of the railroad tracks in Macomb, Mississippi, and the only railroad workers over there at the railroads, kind of railroad, huge railroad, the little way the railroad turned around, had a big turntable. They worked on all the engines, you know, big industrial side town. Just selling things at $7 a piece, and $4 would go to you, and $3 would pay for the meal. And I got busy. Brother Heck, I'm out. I went. I'm on my bicycle. I was riding down there. Selling those ham dinners. I sell them. I sold enough ham dinners for me and my wife both to go to camp. Both to go there. $650 I sold. $7 a piece. I only got $4 of that, so you imagine how many I sold. Brother Heck, you ain't going to believe this. Come day, the meals to be prepared. We deliver them, Brother Robert. That evening, food poisoning broke out. just like, almost like over at Brother Travis Lane's when I got sick over there a couple years back. I was scared to ride my bicycle over the bridge. Because I've been sold all those people, all those ham dinners, and they got food poisoning. Got sick. Now, how many of you would rather have a good ham dinner or some spoiled ham dinner? Right now. How many of you right now would even want to go home and have some ham? Wasn't the best as food. Wasn't the best. Some of us don't prepare. We come and get more out of a joke that I tell, or the preacher tells, or the story I tell, than the preaching of the Word of God. The joke, the story, the points, the illustration, are all to complement the Word of God, not to replace the Word of God. The best of the food, dear friend, is the living Word. And when we come to the house of God, we need to cast the cares of the world aside. Laugh at the joke, but grab a hold to the points and the principles and the scripture and meditate on them. Go home and dissect them and get into them and look at them and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Because the Bible's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for the Sunday school teacher. The Word of God is for every Christian. And the best of the Word of God is the Scripture. That's why I encourage you whenever you come to church, bring your Bibles. That's why I wait. I announce it. Boys, listen, where are you at, Brother Abdiel, Victor, Danny? How many times do I say the reference? They'll tell you. They imitated me one day. 1 Corinthians 6:13. I say it over and over. Why? I'm pausing. I'm waiting. I want you to get to the Word of God. I want you to see it. I want you to get there because this is the best of the food. The Word of God. You know why we're not getting that now, the Word of God? Our atmosphere is not right. There's no hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the place we get righteousness is right here. I'm talking about essential Christian growth. Development. I'm talking like going on a travel baseball team. Going to baseball camps. You understand these kids that get scholarships and going to play into the pros, they don't just wake up one day and say, well, I think I'll play baseball. You know that they get, you know how they get to the NFL? They don't just wake up and say, well, maybe I'm going to just try this here football thing out. You know how they get to the Olympics? They don't just show up at the Olympic trials and say, hey, I think I want to have an opportunity to run hurdles. No, dear friend. The atmosphere is right. They get to the proper places, the proper meeting, the proper camp, the proper exercise. They have a hunger and thirst for winning. For winning. They read and study and look at everything about their particular sport. I mean, they look at it. And they study it, and they watch it, and they practice, they imitate it, they get in the mirror, they see them, they record themselves, and they go back, and they look, and they see what are they doing right, what are they doing wrong, and then they correct, what are they correcting, Brother Hector? Mechanics. Why are we as Christians not correcting mechanics? We have a perfect mirror to look into. And it'll tell us when our stance is wrong. It'll tell us whenever this is not in order. It'll tell us when this is not right. It'll tell us when this here needs to be corrected. The bread, the good food, the best of the food. The best of the food. Father, I love you. Lord, as we've started looking into this, God, I could probably go another 4 weeks as I'm just thinking in my mind. But Lord, if that be your will, let it be so. If not, God, next Wednesday, if we close it out, or the Wednesday after that, Lord, let us grab a hold of these concepts and these thoughts and these here scriptures that we've looked at. Help us to meditate them. Help us to desire to be more Christ-like. We're at the very beginning of 2017. Lord, I can stand here before you, and I have asked you to forgive me already, and I can confess to our church that there was times in 2016 that I just went through the motions, God. And I pray, God, that in 2017, I am allowing you to develop me. I'm allowing you to grow me so I can be the best Christ-like servant that I can possibly be. And I pray that for our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, bus riders, please come quickly to Brother Scott down.